morning. Gary Burke, Deputy Perkins County Attorney. May it please the court, I would like to focus on burdens. And on burdens, Your Honor, the burdens. We have burden on presumptions, we have burden of persuasion, we have burden on elected officials, we have burdens on taxpayers. So let's look at the first part here, presumptions. The burden there is that there's presumption that the Board of Equalization faithfully performed its duties in making an assessment. They acted upon sufficient and competent evidence to justify its outcome and its actions. But that's all fallacy. And the reason why that's fallacy is sophisticated taxpayers know you don't have to do anything at the Board of Equalization. Just show up with your valuation sheet, hand it to the board, you can leave. Because everyone knows when you get to the Turk appeal, Tax Equalization Review Commission, my apologies, I'll just call them Turk for purposes of this discussion, their review is a trial de novo. In fact, they tell you in their briefs, the earlier trial didn't take place. So all the new evidence you get is at the Turk hearing level. The Board of Equalization presumption is basically a fallacy. There really isn't a presumption to it that they're acting in a particular manner because Turk gets all the evidence. The experts don't show up at the Board of Equalization. No one shows up to give you an argument to the Board of Equalization. You show up to Turk.
Isn't that driven by the statutes?
It should be driven by the statute, but it's not. It's a situation where if you go before the Board of Equalization, you turn in your valuation sheet and you're done.
Isn't the Turk burden of proof, isn't the burden of proof before Turk driven by statute?
It is driven by statute, yes.
So we don't have the authority to say it ought to be a different burden of proof, do we?
Well, let me continue here because I think there's a lot of problems here with these burdens we have. A taxpayer has to overcome that burden on that Board of Equalization. There's a presumption that that burden remains on that taxpayer to show that a Board of Equalization acted unreasonably. But kind of hard to do that when you don't have your experts or have any of your information before that Board of Equalization. Another burden. There's a burden on the assessor and the Board of Equalization. You have to tax property at its actual value. So, what is actual value? For purposes of taxation, actual value is market value, it's fair market value, they're all considered the same. So actual value is the value in the market in the ordinary course of that particular trade. Let's move on to the next burden, the burden of persuasion. That's on the taxpayer to establish the taxpayer's contention that the value of that property has been arbitrarily or unlawfully fixed by the County Board of Equalization. That value has not been fairly and properly equalized when considered in conjunction with other property, and that if there's a lack of uniformity that's been shown on that property. So that burden isn't met by a mere difference of opinion. This is what's been stated in all the opinions before. It's established by clear and convincing evidence that the valuation placed on a taxpayer's property when compared with valuation placed on similar properties, that it's not grossly excessive. I want to direct this court's attention to what a Perkins County assessor prepared. She prepared an exhibit with the backup documentation. It was a spreadsheet. It's every ethanol plant in the state of Nebraska. And she prepared this with the intention of trying to show uniformity, not just for any one particular county, but for all the ethanol plants in the state of Nebraska. She broke this down in a very succinct manner in terms of, here's how we come up with a uniform assessment. It's in the records and all the backup data from the other county assessors where these other ethanol plants are located. Now, I respectfully submit to this court that this exhibit
Was there a flaw in the exhibit?
Pardon me, Your Honor?
Was there some inaccurate information in the exhibit?
Well, that's part of the issue here. This is not, in my opinion, a systematic exercise of intentional will, a failure of plain legal duty. There's an error of judgment on some of these things. One of the exhibits, there was a faceplate. There was a 22,000 versus 44,000 faceplate. One faceplate designation on a complete exhibit that breaks down the value that every other assessor in every other county in this state sets for an ethanol plant. And we have one notation that There's an error on a faceplate of 22,000 versus 44,000. Therefore, that's systematic error. That's a systematic and intentional failure to act. That's just a simple error of judgment at this point in time. It's a simple error by an assessor to go from 22,000 to 44,000. Well, the bulk of the evidence remains the same.
You say it's judgment, but it's a determination of fact, isn't it?
Your Honor,
let me ask you a simple question.
Yes.
At this stage, as we have the record before us today, are you contending that the Furnace County ethanol plant was, in fact, a 22,000 gallon plant?
Error was corrected. It was a 44,000.
It was a 44,000.
Correct.
Okay. And that's not in the spreadsheet.
No, it's not.
And when the assessor was questioned about that before TURC, she said it would affect her value, right?
It would have, yes.
And she never did tell us how it would affect the value, right?
I did not handle a TURC hearing, but that's my understanding, yes.
Okay. I want to ask you about a question and answer that appears on page 147 of the Bill of Exceptions when the county's appraiser, Mr. Stannard, was being cross-examined. There were a series of questions about this Furnace County plant. And at one point, the question is asked, well, I'm going to ask you, so if he's correct, if it is a sister plant, referring to the Furnace County plant, you wouldn't have, you would have no disagreement with his testimony being Mr. Calvinico, the appraiser for Wheatland.
Right.
You would have no disagreement with his testimony then, answer no. Do you understand that question and answer to mean if the plants were sister plants, they were both 44,000 gallon plants, Mr. Stannard had no quarrel with the Calvinico appraisal?
That is my understanding, yes.
That's okay. I appreciate that. We have negatives in the question, and you had about three negatives in the question and answer.
See, if we talk Greek, two negatives are a positive, so
yeah.
I'll keep using the Greek double negative here to make it a positive at this point.
Oh, thank you.
The simple assertion. Yes, there are some errors in the record. I'm not disputing that. But when you take the evidence in light of all of the evidence that was presented, I respectfully submit to you this was not a systematic exercise of intentional will, a failure of plain legal duty by the assessor or the Board of Equalization. All of this evidence is in place and should be taken in its totality at this point. And I would respectfully request that that be done in terms of also the 40% deduction. There's nothing in the record other than they moved to 40%. Mr. Calvinico said 40%. We didn't get a chance to rebut that. We didn't get a chance to talk about that. It's all part of actual value. Once again, I respectfully submit that the assessor and all assessors who presented their material to our assessor dealing with the value of these ethanol plants, that wasn't bad faith on their part. It was not an intentional act on their part to mislead a taxpayer at this point.
What is our standard of review of the TURC decision?
Well, you have to review it now and take the evidence, and you can overturn it. You can review it and overturn it if you feel that it was more than just a will, if it's an error, if it's a plain error, in other words, if there's an error of judgment, you can overturn that, or you can send it back down.
You made reference to the 40% deduction.
Yes.
Was there evidence that by some entity or witness that
there was
there
was evidence, but there wasn't any evidence about what 40% number, where it came from. It just popped out of thin air. The number 40%, there's nothing in there that talks about 40%. All it talks about is the economic obsolescence and the economic appreciation. There's nothing about the number. How did that number come to pass other than their expert said 40% and there it is. TURC picked it up.
For as a consequence of the economic depreciation.
That was
somebody's opinion.
Yes, okay. Yes, okay. Yes. And we didn't even get a chance to rebut that. I'm out of time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Stellick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice. May it please the court, my name is Frederick Stellick with Gross & Welch. We represent the Appalachian Wheatland Industries. I think the court has hit already on the majority of what we would present to the court, and that is that the county was arbitrary and unreasonable. The only evidence that the county had was this spreadsheet that purported to be a mass appraisal of all the different ethanol plants, or I don't think even all of them, many different ethanol plants in the state of Nebraska. There was no testimony as to how they may be similar or how they may be different. The court's already heard testimony about the faceplate, and the faceplate for our ethanol plant is 44 million gallons. It's not 1,000, it's 44 million. And the only other ethanol plant on that spreadsheet that was comparable to Perkins County was the Furnas County one. And they initially had a $22 million gallon as the faceplate, but it's wrong. It's 44 million. In fact, these plants were constructed as sister plants. They were built at the same time, initially by the same party, which was my client. So,
is that the only comp that you would suggest?
I would suggest on that sheet that that's the only one that makes any sense, because the rest of them had either different faceplate information. We don't know on the other ones what consideration was taken into effect regarding those plants. Another one of the main errors here is that you have the Perkins County assessor saying, I don't ascribe any physical deterioration or depreciation to this plant. This plant's 10 years old at this time, operated in 2007. We're talking about the 2017 evaluation. And I think it's a little bit hard to say that over a 10-year period that whatever buildings you have, that there's been no depreciation at all with respect to those. Our experts...
Mr. Burke suggests the 40% figure came out of thin air. What is your response to that?
My response to that is no. Our expert testified about many things, and one of them was what makes up economic depreciation. It was his opinion that in this particular plant that 40% was the number that should be applied. The argument they didn't have a chance to rebut that, I don't understand where that comes from, because they had plenty of time and ability at the hearing to question Mr. Kalvanico about anything that he said. The other big problem with respect to the county assessment is both the assessor and their expert, Mr. Standard, said, well, there is a mistake here, and the mistake in that exhibit is significant, and it makes a difference in the valuation. Great. What difference does it make? No testimony by the county assessor, no testimony by Mr. Standard as to whether it makes $1 million difference, a $10 million difference, or whatever. So basically, the county didn't have any evidence. I mean, their evidence was, it was what they submitted was wrong, they admitted it was wrong. I think that clearly meets the burden that the taxpayer had, that it was arbitrary and unreasonable. And then when you look at the evidence submitted by Wheatland, their evidence was clear. I think it was convincing. Mr. Kalvanico is a noted expert. He's done this many, many times. He answered every question that was put to him by the county, and he had quite a long explanation on how he arrived at everything. Turk didn't take every one of his arguments. They didn't apply functional obsolescence to the plant, but Turk did do their job. They went back, they looked at the evidence, they looked at what is appropriate, and they came up with an appropriate value. And the fact that the value they came up with for this ethanol plant is very, very close to the one in Furnas County, which is, a sister plant, I think that clearly shows that the Turk did its job. I think the county's asking for a do-over, and I'm not sure why. And they don't get a do-over here. Whether whatever was presented to the Board of Equalization, I mean, this whole process was followed by, the procedure was followed exactly by what the law allows. And if the county is saying, well, we want you to change the law, I think that's a little late at this point. Because everything was done according to the law, according to the appropriate procedure. And again, the only evidence that the county submitted was, we're wrong. Whatever we have here, it's not right, and it would change our opinion. But no opinion. I mean, again, I think that clearly meets the standard of arbitrary and unreasonable. I mean, Turk's supposed to guess out of thin air. What that means then is it's the assessor's duty, as counsel has indicated, to present appropriate documentation and evidence supporting that. And if their own testimony is, well, yes, it makes a difference and it's not correct, you got to get to, well, what do you think it is? I mean, at that point, at least you have something to argue about. There's nothing there for the county that they presented that even gives us an argument. So the only competent evidence in front of the court, or excuse me, in front of Turk, was the appraisal by Mr. Calvanico and the description testimony by the owners of the plant.
Counsel, you don't read the Turk opinion to suggest that mass appraisal techniques are never appropriate with ethanol plants.
No, I don't read it that way, but I think if you're going to do a mass appraisal, you have to follow the USPAP standards, which our courts and our state has said you have to do, wasn't followed here. And another thing that's really important here is a lot of people don't understand the ethanol plant and the, you know, what makes up an ethanol plant. It's not like when you go look at it and say it's an apartment building, you know, the improvements on the real estate, this is how they make their money or their profits. Not in an ethanol plant. It's all process and it's all machinery. These buildings are simply covers for the structure, for the machinery. And as explained by Mr. Lundin in his testimony, the further north you go, the more you have to put in a structure because of the weather. The further south you go, sometimes there's not even structures covering this machinery. So what makes up the improvements on this real property is a minimum of a structure. About the only structure that has anything to it is the approximately 1,000 square foot office that's heated and air conditioned. The rest of the structures aren't heated, they aren't air conditioned. They lack, you know, basic amenities that you'd see in almost any building. They are simply to provide a cover for the machinery, and the machinery is personal property and it's taxed as personal property, and taxes are paid on that. So you got to look at what, you know, what are we talking about here? I don't think there was any dispute as to the value of the land on which the machinery or the improvement set. I think Mr. Calvanico pretty much agreed with what the county had assessed that land as. That's not an issue. But when you start talking about improvements, then you need to know what are the improvements made of? What are they? How do they relate to this property? Are they part of the function of the property? No, they're really only there to cover the machinery, and no matter how minimal they are, they're going to deteriorate over a 10-year period. You just can't have buildings, parking lot, the asphalt parking lot, those things deteriorate over a period of time. And for the county attorney to say we don't take that into consideration, that's not appropriate. Even the county's expert said, no, that's not appropriate. You have to take into consideration physical depreciation. And certainly the USPAP standards on mass appraisals clearly indicate that you have to take that into consideration. So we believe that Turk was correct, that the taxpayer met the burden to show that the county was arbitrary and unreasonable. We think that Turk's judgment should be sustained. And if there's no other questions, I don't think there's anything else I have to offer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal?
There is 10 seconds, Your Honor.
10 seconds, Mr. Berg.
I concur. People do not know about ethanol plants in this state. They have no knowledge of how they work. But to make an assertion that one plant in Furnas and that the assessors in these other areas did not look at the actual value, that they did not put depreciation into those calculations, any of you went out, if you went to buy a house, a car, depreciation is going to be put into that actual value. It's going to be part and parcel of any value you have on real estate and the like. So to that extent, to say that depreciation had to be plucked out and treated differently, no, I'm sorry. The assessors in these other counties already had depreciation calculated into this. So once again, the 40% number just doesn't work for me. The economic obsolescence doesn't work for me. To merely pluck out one plant and say, well, there it is. No, you've got the entire state in a nutshell right here. There it is. There's ethanol plants with all their federal subsidies they get, with all the information we tried to get in terms of the economics of what they made, which we didn't get in the end from Turk. They didn't give us that. Please review that order. We asked for the economics on how their profits are made.
Did you assign error about that?
No, we did not, Your Honor. We may be back next year, Your Honor. They're on another appeal. Anything else from the court at this time?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That takes us to the next case of the day, which is State versus Stanko. I am recused from this matter. Justice Miller Lerman will preside. Give me a second to get out of the courtroom.